Makuta Sicha is Cheluk Yudalef, Parsha Pekudei Sicha Beis, a summary of the Sicha. At the very beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk begins, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the numbers associated with the Mishkan, with the building of the Mishkan. Mishkan HaEdos, the Mishkan of the Testimony. In other words, saying the word Mishkan twice in a row. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdos. And Rashi points it out, he quotes the words Mishkan, Mishkan, and he says, twice mentioned to allude to the Beis HaMikdash that was taken as a mashkin, the word mishkan, mashkin, taken as a collateral, twice being destroyed. In other words, Hashem took it back as collateral over Alevein HaSeim Shel Yisrael, over the sins of the Yidden. So the general idea that the two Beis HaMikdash are alluded to in this pasuk makes sense. It's talking about the summary of the Mishkan, so the pasuk alludes to two more Beis HaMikdash that will be in the future. But why would the pasuk allude to the destruction of those two Beis HaMikdash rather than to the building of those two Beis HaMikdash? Especially that we know that the word Mishkan comes from the word Vishachanti, or at least is associated with the word Vishachanti, which means to dwell within the Mishkan. So why talk about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Also, why does Rashi say Shnei Pa'omim, that it's written twice? That's quite obvious. He even quotes the two words Mishkan to show that it's written twice. Why does he have to reiterate it? When Rashi says it's an allusion to the Mikdash, which was taken as a collateral, he writes in singular, Mishkan, not the Mikdash, not Mikdash Shois, when there were two. Why does he say, express it as a singular, especially that he's addressing the question of Mishkan, Mishkan, which is multiple, not singular? Also, why does Rashi have to add that the reason that the Mikdashes were destroyed were because of the sins of the Yidden? Why is it important here? Another question could be asked, since there was also the Mishkan Shiloi, which was destroyed. So how do we know, how does Rashi know that it's not referring to Mishkan Shiloi, especially that the Mishkan Shiloi was called a Mishkan and not a Mikdash? Also, that Rashi refers to it as it was taken as a Mashkan. A Mashkan collateral is something that you have to return in the same condition that you took it. So if the Eved should destroy the first base of Mikdash and then he returned it as the second one, the second one should have been returned similar to the first one. We know that the second Beis HaMikdash was not similar to the first one. It was missing some very important components from the first one. So how does it rise to the idea of Mashkan? So to explain it, there is a very fundamental difference between a Mishkan and a Mikdash. A Mishkan is a temporary place, and a Beis HaMikdash is a permanent place for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Hashem's presence. In fact, each one of the two Beis HaMikdash were built in a place that was aligned with the Mishkan Shalemayla. This was the Mishkan Shalemata, which was aligned with the Mishkan Shalemayla to channel all those things, those spiritual aspects of the Mishkan Mikdash Shalemayla, because this was the place that was appropriate for this, whereas the Mishkan doesn't have any of that. It's a temporary place. And therefore, even though it's true that the second Beis HaMikdash did not quite measure up to the first Beis HaMikdash, but it shares that very fundamental similarity with the first one, which is they are both permanent. But you can say that Hashem took away the Mishkan Shiloi and gave back a Mikdash, a Beis HaMikdash. That's not returning the same thing. That would be completely different. So therefore, the Mashkan fits better with the two Batei Mikdash. In addition to that, we learn all this from the fact that it says Mishkan, Mishkan, a similar word twice, once after the other. But Mishkan and Mikdash are not similar to each other, and therefore it's hard to say that he's referring to Mishkan Shiloi and the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the two which are being referred to, since they're not similar to each other. And maybe that's what Rashi means when he says Shnei Pa'omim. He adds the word Shnei Pa'omim to tell us that the two words are similar to each other, alike with each other. Therefore, that's how Rashi knows that it's referring to the two Batemikdash rather than to a Mishkan Shiloi and a Mikdash Rishon Hasheni. And that also explains why, since we're talking about a Mashkan, that explains why the Torah refers to it in its state of a Churban rather than in its state of being there as a built Beis HaMikdash. It's also telling us something new here, that when Hashem takes the Beis HaMikdash through a Churban, He is merely taking a Mashkan, which means a Mashkan exists, remains in its current state even when it's taken as a Mashkan, and it has to be returned in the same state. Therefore, the Torah is telling us that even when the Beis HaMikdash was in its state of Churban, it still remained. It didn't disappear. It didn't go away. It was there. It was in the care of Hashem to be returned at a time when Hashem decides. Which is why Rashi says that it was taken as a mashkan alav in Hisayim shel Yisrael. In other words, that the fault is with Yisrael, not that there's something wrong with the mikdash itself. If the mikdash was destroyed, taken as a mashkan because of something lacking in the Beis HaMikdash, then there would be a possibility that it would somehow compromise the Beis HaMikdash itself. But since the fault lays elsewhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, Avin Hashem Shal Yisrael, therefore the Mikdash can remain in its present state even when it's taken as a mashkan. And through this, Rashi also explains why is it that Mishkan Shiloh was not included in this. We know that it refers. We now know that it refers to the two Bate Mikdashes. But why Taka was Shiloh not included? Because that was not destroyed over Avin Hashem Shal Yisrael. That was specific to the sons of Eli, as the Tanakh tells us that was the reason that it was destroyed. It wasn't the fault of all Yidden, and therefore it wasn't included in this. Another thing that this is teaching us is that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed over the sins of the Jews, but it was already many, many years earlier that the Avein Hashem Shel Yisrael was already a reality, and still Hashem did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash for many, many years, teaching us that it was so important for Hashem that the Beis HaMikdash should be with amongst the Jews and by the Bnei Yisrael, that he delayed it even when there was many, many sins going on, both by the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, but he delayed it as long as he could because it was important that it should be with the Yidden as long as possible. And the lesson in this is that we should be no different than Hashem, no less than Hashem in this matter. And so, just as Hashem was willing to overlook the avonos, the sins of the Jewish people for so many years, and that he wanted to keep the Beis HaMikdash there so that it would encourage and it would inspire the Yidden to do tshuva, we should be no different as well. Even if there's someone whom we know who behaves in a way that is not appropriate, and we might think that we should stay away from that person and give up on that person, Hashem did not give up, and therefore we should not give up. Another way that we could see this same idea is from the story of the Luchos. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain, he stayed for 40 days, and then when Hashem finished teaching him, he gave him the Luchos. That was on the 40th day. At that time, the Yidden had already built the Egel, and Hashem knew about the Egel. So he was willing to give Moshe the Torah, the Luchos, even though he knew that the Yidden had already built the Egel. So therefore, we should be the same, that even though we know that a person, another Yid, is not up to what they should be, they don't do what they should be, but we have to try and give whatever we can, whatever inspiration we can, whatever teaching we can, even though that person is not where they should be, and hopefully, with Hashem's help, that will have a positive influence and turn the story around.